good morning. I'm hoping I have enough faith to believe that spring will come. Every day that we've been back from the Philippines, I'm waiting for it to get a little bit warmer and be a little less snow, and it just seems to be going the other way around. The other day I woke up and it was minus 23, and this morning I woke up and there was just piles of snow out there, and I had to go shovel snow. Not what I had hoped for, not what I had expected. We live in a changing world, and maybe it's climate change, I don't know. I definitely am one person who is looking forward to some spring-like weather. Yes, our world is a changing world, and in the area of missions, we are also experiencing that our world is changing. And back in 2009, our mission center to Nashville made a change to our mission statement. And what we decided was that no longer would we just go into one country and just do ministry wherever. What we decided was we wanted to focus on unreached people groups. Now, what's an unreached people group? These are groups of people in the world that do not have a viable witness. They do not have a strong enough church to share the gospel with the people. And most of the people in those people group have never heard of Jesus. They have no idea about the Bible. And this is what we want to do. We want to go and bring the gospel message to unreached peoples around the world. And in Asia especially, there are many, millions and millions of people who have never heard the gospel message. And one of the things that we're learning as we made the shift of focusing on unreached people groups, there's a reason why they're unreached. Many, many people do not want to go to those people and share the gospel. It is very difficult to go to those places and share the gospel. They are very opposed to the gospel message. The governments make it very difficult. And so when missionaries or Christians who want to go work in those areas, they find it very, very challenging. And what my role in SEND Philippines is to do prepare and train new missionaries to go out, and they are going to these unreached places. So we're learning, well, we need to prepare them for this. This is a changing world. And what we want, what we call VUCA, a VUCA world. Don't go into your dictionary to look for the word VUCA. It's not there. Don't Google it now. but VUCA is an acronym. And I want to share a little bit about what that acronym really is this morning. The V for VUCA is volatile. Unrest, violence. We know much of that is happening around our world. Places like Syria, it's a volatile place. Some of our missionaries are wanting to go to Turkey. There's been a lot of unrest in Turkey, or even India, where the nationalistic Hindus are being very, very opposed to Christian or other religions. So people that we are sending are going into a volatile area. The U is uncertain. We live in a very, very uncertain world, and even that accident in Saskatchewan shows that life can be very uncertain. Last year, we had one of our missionaries that went to China. She wanted to work with the Yi people, an unreached people group in China. And just recently, she went to renew her visa to return there. And she discovered the Chinese government decided that they would block all visas for Filipinos going to that area. She was shocked. She was heartbroken. Lord, this is where you're calling me. This is where I want to go, share the gospel with these people. And now I can't get a visa to go there. Life can be very uncertain. It also can be very complex. Hard to figure out. Sometimes we're going through life and, man, life's not making sense for me right now. Many of our missionaries are going into areas where government are changing the requirements for visas. They're changing what you can and what you cannot do. So we have to prepare our missionaries for this kind of a life, going into a VUCA world. And then the A is ambiguous, unclear, confusing. Some of our missionaries are struggling as how to do MK schooling in some of these creative access countries. When you're going in to this area, how am I going to be able to teach my children? Where would they get their education? We talked a little bit about Faith Academy as one of the resources to help missionaries. But life can be very ambiguous when some of these needs, these felt needs that missionaries have, are not, it's not clear. How are we going to do this? Navigating in a foreign culture is often unclear and confusing. We have experienced that, going into a new country and trying to learn their way of doing things. But life in general can be volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Students coming out of high school often think they have a clear vision going forward, but within 5-10 years, they are going a totally different direction. Very few of them are still following the path they had when they came out of high school. People getting a new job think that life will be simple going forward, but soon find life is not so simple. People often getting married are excited for their future, but they find things change. Life is complicated, complex. Even in living our lives as a disciple of Jesus Christ, life is full of challenges and difficulties. Life is not a bed of roses. It's not easy. We live in an increasingly VUCA world. Our world is becoming more and more volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. Just check the news. What's happening around our world? And you see that. Our secular world has little patience or tolerance for people who have a biblical worldview. Now, God has given us a command. It's called the Great Commission. And I just recently heard a Barna report said that 51% of people in the church have no idea what the Great Commission is. This is what we're all about, what God has called the church to do. Go and share the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, even the unreached people groups. Can we go to the next slide then? We know the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. It says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So that's what God is asking us to do as a church, as a body of believers. We are to go and make disciples of all nations, even the unreached. Matthew 10, Jesus said, I am sending you as sheep among wolves. He knew it wasn't going to be simple. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. It's going to be a difficult, challenging life as you seek to follow me, as you bring this wonderful, beautiful message to the people around the world. And how can we accomplish this goal with confidence? We like to do whatever we're doing. We like to do it confidently. But it's hard when things are changing. We're in a VUCA world. In the Old Testament, King David lived in a VUCA world, a world that was volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. David wrote Psalm 27 as a song for Israel. The lyrics of this song give us clues on how we can be confident as Jesus' disciples sent out into a VUCA world. So let's look at Psalm 27. And the first one is we're going to look at is God's character gives us confidence. Verses 1 to 3. I'll read it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Wow, those are amazing statements by David. First of all, let's look at what his claims are. He says, the Lord is my light. What does light do? Light removes fear. Light removes darkness. And I think of Joyce and I just moved into a new house earlier this last year. And when we moved into our house, it was almost like move-in ready. Everything was ready. But one thing that Joyce mentioned to me, she says, Larry, on the side of our house, there's a kind of a narrow pathway, and there's no light there. There are steps there. There are tree roots going there. There's a water tank in the way, and it's dark. And she says, I don't know if there might be a snake there or a rat or something else there. Can you put up a light? And so that's what I did. I put up a light on the side of our house so that we turn it on so when it's dark, we can just walk. Light removes darkness. Light removes fear. The Bible tells us that without God in their life, people are walking in darkness. But when we put our faith in Jesus for salvation, then Jesus comes into our lives. He brings with him that light so that we no longer live in darkness. As we travel in this VUCA world, we no longer journey in darkness. But God is within us. God is within us as that light. His light is within us to help us gain confidence. Our confidence does not come from our own sense of confidence. Wow, I'm tough. I can do this on my own. It comes because God's light is in our life. Because of this light, we have confidence to follow after Jesus. What is he calling us to do? What is he challenging us to do? Take this light into a dark world. We have that light so we can go with confidence. David also says, the Lord is my salvation. Salvation removes fear. Whom shall I fear, he says? Because God is my salvation. My heart shall not fear. Recently, I was talking with one of our missionary appointees, a Filipina lady. And this lady was planning to go to India as one of our missionaries. And she's planning to go among the Bihari Muslims in the northern part of India. And many of you may have heard of it's getting more and more volatile in India. India is becoming less and less receptive to the gospel message. or the government at least, or the nationalistic Hindus are very, very opposed. And she said, I'm not afraid to go there and die. I'm willing to go. I know where I'm going. And I was amazed. Wow. You know, that is confidence that she had because God was her Savior. She knew that she had salvation. Jesus said, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those that kill the body and after that can do no more. People can hurt us, they can kill our bodies, but with our souls, if we are a follower of Jesus, they cannot do any more. Our hands are in Jesus' hands. When we have assurance of salvation, wow, that is an important thing. And we challenge people. The Bible teaches that if we are in God's hands, we have that confidence. It gives us confidence to step out of our comfort zone. I don't like stepping out of my comfort zone because I have no confidence. But because of God is our light, God is my salvation, I can step out. David was confident because he saw God as the source of his salvation. He also mentioned that the Lord is my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What's a stronghold? I looked it up on the computer. And one of the definitions of a stronghold was a fortified city, a fortress, a refuge, a place of strength. David said, God is a place of strength. He's a fortress for me. Now, in the Philippines, when someone builds a house, they always put a cement wall around the house. That's for security, for protection, this cement wall. And people also put on lights, as I mentioned earlier, so that nobody will try and jump in. And if there's lights there, I don't want to go there because people might see me. But they also have a dog inside the compound. And crime can be very prevalent, especially if your house is dark and there's no dog to warn. And so often we have to take our security into our own hands. We have to provide lights and a dog. And often Joyce and I would walk around our subdivision and we would just wander around and we'd go by all these houses that had walls around them with these big gates in front of them. And behind those gates would be these dogs that would just, they would be, they're often little dogs. They don't look that, ferocious, but they sound very ferocious. And these dogs would be so confident and brave, even though they're small, because they are in a stronghold. They are behind a big steel gate. I cannot get at them. So they are brave and they're strong. However, sometimes the owners let these little dogs out the gate, and they run around the street. And you see a transformation with these dogs. No longer are they, they're just kind of slinking around, They've lost their confidence because they are no longer in protected area. But when they go back in the compound, they transform back to being confident and strong. In David's context, a stronghold was a town or a city that was well protected, but David's stronghold was not a fortified city. It was the Lord. He saw the Lord as his protection from trouble and not a city. He recognized that even the most fortified city could be overcome. His confidence and security was in the Lord. Listen to what he says in verse 3. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. I can be confident because God is my stronghold. That's why I'm going to I'm going to turn to my God in these times when people are coming at me, difficulties are coming at me. I need that stronghold. When you find yourself in a fearful situation, focus on God, who God is. God is our light. He is our salvation. And, of course, He is our stronghold. Secondly, God's presence gives us confidence. Not only His character, but His presence. Verses 4 to 8. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surrounded me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Wow. God's presence was extremely important for David. And he found confidence in God's presence. Now, we know the story of Moses and how Moses was tasked with the job of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And God said to Moses, you are the one, you're going to lead them up into the promised land. But Moses said to him, wait a minute, who's going to go with me? I can't do this all by myself. And then Moses says, if your presence does not go with me, do not send us up into the promised land. God's presence was essential, and Moses knew it. He knew that he was not up to par as far as leading on his own, but with God's presence, what a difference that will make as he accomplishes what God wants him to do. Okay, so let's look at what David likes to tell us, or in the clues that he gives us. First of all, he says, we can confident by making God our desire. He says, the one thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In David's time, God's presence was located in the tabernacle, in the house of the Lord. David gained confidence because he made his relationship with God the number one priority in his life. He recognized that he needed God's presence in order to lead God's people. Can you imagine? A shepherd boy being taken and given the responsibility of being the king of this incredible group of people. David was intentional. That's one thing that really struck me. He is intentional when it comes to his relationship with God. He worked at his relationship with God. It is hard work to pursue God. Our missionaries, we train them and we emphasize that as they go out, the number one priority that they have is to develop their relationship with God. We train them about how to have a day alone with God, spending time with God. If they fail in that area, they most likely are going to fail in their role as a missionary in a VUCA world, in a very, very difficult world. It's their relationship with God that really makes the difference. And David recognized that. He said, my one desire. And then he talks about the focus. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Not only was the relationship with God his number one priority, it was also his number one focus. For most of David's life, he maintained his focus on his relationship with God. He put his desire into practice. He would gaze upon the Lord. And that's why he's known as the man after God's own heart. He had that love for God. He focused on God. How often do we take the time to stop and meditate on God, on what God has done, or what he has said in his word? He's also talked about God as his hiding place. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. David recognized that his main protection was going to be God. It wasn't going to be a wall around the city. It wasn't going to be the sword in his hand, although God may use those things. But ultimately, it was God that would be his hiding place. And this is kind of the same idea as a stronghold. Okay? One other thing that he mentioned that helped him be confident is that his relationship with God will put him at an advantage as he deals with people. He knows that God's going to give him guidance and direction and wisdom. So that, he says, I'm at an advantage against my foes, those who oppose me, because the God of the universe is in relationship with me. He's going to help me. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. David knew that. He understood that. And as we go along, we see that he says, I will sing and make melody to the Lord. He is rejoicing because of these truths, that my relationship with God is going to enable me to have confidence to accomplish what God wants me to do. Finally, at the end of this part, he leaves a challenge for you and me. He says, my heart says to you, seek his face. That's what I'm trying to tell our missionaries. As they come, as they apply, they want to serve God as a missionary in some faraway place among unreached peoples. I tell them, seek his face. Spend time in God's word. Get to know him. And learn to trust in him. Put your faith and trust as you serve in God. And then David says, your face, Lord, I will seek. Wow. We can draw confidence from God's presence as we seek to serve him. And finally, there's God's provision. God's provision provides confidence. Do not hide your face from me. This is verses 9 to 12. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. First of all, we see here that David recognized God's acceptance. But the Lord will take me in. Wow. God's going to take me in. He accepts me as I am. Even though my mom and dad may not accept me, but God will. Jesus states in John 6:37 that all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive out. God accepts us just the way we are. But he'll never want leave us that way. He'll accept us, but he'll always want us to change. He will work in our heart and our life, helping us to grow, helping us to serve, and become more and more like Jesus. Secondly, God provides guidance. David says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path." He recognizes that he's not left up to his own wisdom, his own ideas as what to do. He says, "God, teach me your ways. I want to live like you want me to live. Guide me in a level path. Help me in this wild and crazy world to live the life you want me to do." So, as we look back at what David has taught, we see that God's character gives confidence. He is our light, our salvation, our stronghold. His presence gives confidence. He, by being my desire, my focus, my hiding place, and my advantage. And then we see God's provision gives confidence. He provides acceptance, but also guidance. Guidance to go forward, to learn, to grow, and develop, and to mature. Finally, he ends up with a conclusion and a challenge. In verse 13 and 14, "I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." David's conclusion, after sharing all these things about what are the basis of his confidence, he says, "I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Even though it's a volatile world, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, he says, "I know that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." David comes to this conclusion that God will not abandon him in his time of need, but that he will see God's goodness to him in his desire to serve him. And then finally, he leaves a challenge to us. David's challenge to his readers, not to lose heart if they have not seen the goodness of the Lord yet in their life. He says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, but wait for the Lord." Sometimes we live in a society that's an instant society. We have fast food. We go to an ATM. We get instant cash. We want instant service. But God doesn't always work in an instant world. His timing is not our timing. And David recognized that. He had to wait many, many years before he became king of Israel. Even though many years passed, he was told he would become the king of Israel. Sometimes we need patience. We need to wait for God to act. And that was what David recognized, and that was his challenge to us. Be strong, let your heart take courage, and wait expectantly for the Lord. This morning we live in a VUCA world, a world that is volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Which word would describe your experience today? Are you facing a volatile situation in your life? Or perhaps the future seems so uncertain to you. Maybe life has become so complex that you don't know what to do. Or is your life becoming ambiguous and or confusing? Sometimes what needs to happen is not to figure something out immediately, but to work with confidence in God's presence. Are we prepared to wait for God to move? One of our missionaries, this missionary, single lady who went to China, she wrote on her Facebook, I don't know if this is words of a song or a poem or someone else wrote it, but this is what she posted on her Facebook after she came across a very disappointing occurrence when she was denied a visa to where she wanted to go. She wrote this: "When you don't move the mountains, I'm leading you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So let all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less."